Welcome to the fourth podcast episode of With Students in Mind. My name is Matt Townsley. I blog at mctownsley.net. You can hook up with me on Twitter at mctownsley. And my co-host today
Russ
is...
Russ Guerin. I blog at russguerin.com. And on Twitter, I am at russguerin.
And we have a very special guest with us today, Eric Townsley. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Eric.
Eric Townsley. I blog at Assessment for Instruction at blogspot.com and at Eric Townsley at Twitter.
Eric, what do you do during the day? Like, what's your big role with students? What's your job, man? Tell us a little about yourself.
My role, I am a secondary, specifically high school math teacher. I teach Algebra 2 and Pre-Algebra. So I get kind of a different perspective on kids. I have some of our higher achieving students and also some of our lower achieving students. So.
Great. Full disclosure, Eric and I are brothers. And so, yeah, welcome aboard, Eric.
Thank you.
Let's see. What in the world has happened since episode number 3? It's been a while since we've been on the air. Russ, you've got some big news since episode 3. What in the world is going on in the life of you and Mrs. BMG?
Well, I was going to say it's episode 4, and if you haven't caught on yet, I am married to Matt and Eric's little sister, so there it's full circle today. And what has happened in my life is we have a baby boy. His name is Henry. If you guys are connected on Twitter at all, I'm sure you've seen some pictures, and if not, just send me a message, and I would be happy to share some. So. He's 10 weeks old, it's pretty amazing.
Nice, very nice, very nice, very nice. All right, let's go ahead and get started here. Quick recap of our format today. We're going to start, we could have kind of a 1-2-3 format. One is one thing that we can teach you. Russ is going to chime in there. We're going to have two perspectives today. We're going to bring in Eric on some two perspectives on a recent one-to-one institute that all three of us attended. And then we're going to have our usual 3-minute gut check. Eric, I hope you're ready for With Students in Mind at its best. Get ready, Eric. Get ready. Get ready.
Yeah.
I can sense the silence in the background there, Eric. All right. So let's get started. One thing we can teach you, Russ. Tell us about the new Google Docs.
Okay. I tweeted this out this week saying that I was extremely geeked about these new features, which I am. This is... one of the more exciting updates I can remember happening with Google Docs. A while ago, would have been, I think, December or something last year, Google bought Etherpad. And if you've never been to Etherpad before, it's over now. But Etherpad is a real-time writing collaboration engine. And what's interesting about it is you see each letter as the other people who are working with you at the same time type them, and so it's one of those things where it's just totally real time. And Google bought it, I think in December, and everybody freaked out because Etherpad was going to go away, and it was one of these things that a lot of teachers used for meetings, for taking collaborative notes, and that kind of thing. And what's nice is within the last week, Google rolled out a new document editor, which brings in a lot of the functions of Etherpad. One of the main ones is that letter by letter, real time updating, and it's we've actually got it going on right now. We've got our With Students in Mind Google Doc to take some notes and to keep the syllabus going, and so I can see everything that Matt's updating while I'm giving you this. And it's something that I've used in the classroom with kids before, having them collaborate on writing a story, and I also used it at the Iowa One-to-One Institute. In the session that I led, I had the session attendees create our notes together collaboratively. The other big update, I'm just kind of running over just a few of the updates, and we'll put a link in the show notes to Google's blog post talking about all of the updates. But the other big one for me is that they brought the sidebar chat into Google Docs now, and that's just something that I've always wanted just for this exact situation. You know, we've got a document open that we're all editing, and then we've got a chat bar on the side where we can talk about things that don't necessarily need to be in the document itself. Just a couple of things to help Google Docs work a little bit more smoothly for those collaborative times. I'm really looking forward to using this next year with teachers. We have really got our Google Docs working for us this year. A lot of the teachers in our language arts, in my language arts PLC, have just been really, really impressed with how well Google Docs works, and they're really excited to be able to have access to everybody's plans, and we can share things a lot easier. And I think this will just help. This will just be one more thing that'll help get us going. One thing that a couple of people have noted about the updates is that it makes Google Docs a lot more like Wave, Google Wave, if you've used Wave.
Okay.
And I can see that totally. The one thing that I would say, and we've tried to use this a couple of times without much success, but with Wave, you can, Wave is just a little bit more powerful. Now, whether you need that power or not, it's kind of up to you. But for example, Matt and Eric, you guys, we're all on a Wave together planning our summer trip, our summer family trip. And we can do things like embed a full website into the Wave. And we've done things like there's a Trippy extension where you can kind of plan your trip, and you can, there's like a map in it and all kinds of stuff that just make it a little bit more powerful. Is that kind of your assessment of Wave, guys?
Yeah, I'd say so. There's a lot more widgets, add-ons, media integration.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Eric? What else do you see in it, Eric?
I think it's a useful tool for collaboration is what I see. I really enjoy that. And we've done some collaborative things where you can kind of keep record of what our thoughts were in the process. So I think it's a good tool that way, too.
Yeah.
The playback feature in Wave is kind of unique, too. I think in Google Docs, you can go back and view previous versions.
It's a little clunkier, though, I think.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, it's a little clunkier than the way Wave does it. So anyway, so that's kind of what Google Docs has been up to lately. It's a really big deal. I'm really excited about it. This is one of those things I get excited about, and I'm pumped. Our teachers are really, like I said before, our teachers are excited about Google Docs, and this is just another thing that'll, let us work together easier.
Great. We'll post a video or some links, like you said, to Russ, along with this podcast episode. Let's move on to the two perspectives portion of this episode number 4 here. We're going to talk specifically about the One-to-One Institute that was hosted by CASEL, which is led by Dr. Scott McLeod at Iowa State University. A quick recap for our listeners. It was held on April 7th at the Polk County Convention Center in Des Moines. Purposes of the One-to-One Institute were to help Iowa districts who are thinking of going one-to-one or are already going one-to-one basically come together and collaborate so that they can all learn from each other. We'll post some links to more information about it, but all three of us had a chance to go to it, and I think what would probably be a good kind of launching point here would be to talk about a really unique part of the conference, which was called the Unconference. So basically there was a room that was dedicated each hour to unconferencing. So basically people showed up and said, hey, here's what I want to talk about, kind of off the whim, wasn't scheduled, wasn't planned, wasn't maybe just an informal conversation about something that they want to talk about that was not a part of the other sessions. So the three of us showed up right after lunch and decided to ask the question, is one-to-one enough? So I want to ask you guys, kind of, what was your take on that? And specifically, what are the implications of that conversation as it relates to your school districts and your students as you think about going one-to-one at your school district? So let's start off with Eric. Eric, what was your take on the unconference session there?
Well, my first take on that is how disappointed I was. I just think about some of the teachers in my building and that I know, and how they would jump at the opportunity to be in that initiative, to be in a one-to-one initiative, and how that would, I mean, it's unbelievable to me, that opportunity, and how the teachers that were there were just so, I guess I don't know if they didn't understand it or they didn't really get what was going on, but or if the districts didn't do a good enough job presenting to them the tools that they needed to use and how it could benefit their students. But just how disappointed I was with some of the responses that the teachers had, and their comments and thoughts about the ability to utilize that computer in their classroom. So
I think the obvious answer, and I was pretty excited that This was the answer that everyone gave, is that no, one-to-one isn't enough, and that it's more of a mindset than the actual tool set. And that's something I tweeted out later on, but I think it's something that a lot of people in the room were saying, that, you know, it's not enough just to have computers in everybody's hands. Now, we've talked before on this podcast and in conversations outside of it that access is one of the biggest issues, you know,
sure.
and just having that access is something that is huge. But I think you're right, Eric, that kind of being... One thing that we're doing in our building, and we don't even necessarily have formal talks going on about one-to-one, I think it's kind of a glimmer in the administrator's eye to hopefully get there at one point. But one of the things when we do have those kind of informal conversations about it is that we talk about how right now we have teachers who are clamoring for that access. And I think that's what you're getting after too, Eric, is that we... are doing things, we're bumping up against a wall where we would like the access, we would like the one-to-one, but we don't have it. Whereas on the flip side, I think there are schools who have that one-to-one access that don't necessarily know what to do with it. It's kind of a tool that they didn't necessarily need or know how to use. And so I think those are kind of the two things. Do you need it and do you know how to use it? And once, you know, if you need it, you'll learn how to use it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Go ahead, Eric. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, that was my disappointment, I guess, is that these schools, these teachers have this great tool in their classroom, and they don't see the value in it, and they don't see how it can improve their student achievement and the engagement that's going on in their classroom. And I look at it, and part of what I also noticed was that most of the schools doing this are very small schools, in terms of what schools are like in Iowa. And, you know, Russ, we both teach, and Matt, we both teach at, I would say, some of the larger schools, not the largest schools in the state, but some of the larger schools in the state, and how that there's a kind of a disconnect in how, you know, for us it'd be such a financial burden to go to one-to-one, and for these other schools it'd be less of a financial cost. But I guess, yeah, I would agree that disconnect that those teachers have was really where I struggled with. So
yeah, I think the irony behind the whole unconference little mini session that we did, I was going into it thinking that there was going to be a whole bunch of administrators and teachers that were fired up about their one-to-ones. And I was expecting to challenge them and be challenged myself on, okay, now you've got a one-to-one, what's the next level? You know what I'm saying? But we saw kind of this flip side also of these other staff members, as you said, Russ and Eric, who said, you know what, one-to-one was kind of maybe forced upon us, and it wasn't really the answer we were looking for. So it's kind of like this, there's this level of one-to-one, but I was expecting to see above the line, and there were some that brought in below the line. You know, from our students' perspective, do you think a one-to-one at your specific schools is the line where your students are ready to be, your staff is ready to be? Are we still below the line, above the line? Like, you know, this podcast is about students. How would a one-to-one fit with the students that you guys teach?
I can go. I would say... that my staff would tell you this too. I'm known around the school. Well, even on the podcast, okay? We were joking about earlier. I'm kind of pigeonholed. I'm the tech guy. And that's what it is like. That's what it's like at school too. You know, I'm the nerdy computer guy. I'm not ready for one-to-one. I don't know what I would be doing. I'm sure I could figure it out, you know? I mean, it would work. But I don't feel like... There are projects where I wish all my kids had computers. But as far as every day, I'm not sure I'm mentally ready for that. So as far as, you know, looking down the hall and saying, what if tomorrow, or what if, you know, August 20th, every kid walked into every classroom with a computer, I don't know if we're mentally ready for that.
And Eric, go ahead.
And that's what I'm noticing, is I've been doing a lot of research, because, I mean, my school is, we're talking about it. We're having conversations about it with our administrative team and in our leadership in school, and we're talking about it, and we're like, are we ready yet? And my, I guess my observation about most of the schools that are going one-to-one is that, are they really, are they really ready for that jump? You know, what you're saying, Russ, is that I don't think I'm ready. I don't know if these schools are really ready for that jump. And I think a lot of times they've got some great visionary leaders who say we need to go, but then all of a sudden the teachers who are sitting in the classroom are like, well, what do I do with this? And I think
the question is, they're ready. I mean, can you be ready for this kind of thing? What I'm saying is, doesn't it take access to be ready for one-to-one? You know, you have to practice at some point or something. So I guess that's the question. Can you be ready for one-to-one without having it?
You know, should it be like this big scaffolding experience where you first start out with having, you know, a whole bunch of mobile carts in your school so that your teachers are used to increased access? Or do you just go cold turkey and you go from having two computer labs to every kid having a computer? What would it look like in your school, Eric?
Well, I would say I think a lot of our teachers aren't ready yet. I know there's a couple who right now could do that. They could jump in and get going and be ready to roll. But I also think there are some that are not even close, that aren't ready at all. But I guess even for me, like Russ was saying, I know, Matt, we've talked about this, is that what does it look like in a math classroom? And that's, I think, I've been talking with some people from Van Meter about the same thing. What does a one-to-one initiative look like in the math classroom? I don't know yet, because there's so much we do that, you need to do paper and pencil. Is there a way to solve an equation? Is there an easy equation editor out there that we could use on a computer every day? I don't know. So to me, that's the disconnect that I have, and that's the conversations that we're having in our school is, you know, are we ready? What is that going to look like? And I really don't think that you're ready until you're forced to the issue, because I think it's such a paradigm shift about where we are in our teaching until where we need to be.
What about, you brought up a good question there about, like, you know, solving equations and all that stuff. I'm not wholeheartedly disagreeing or anything, Eric, but, you know, you hear the visionaries talk about these one-to-one initiatives and so forth, and they always talk about not just teaching the same stuff, but teaching new stuff. You know, you hear buzzwords, 21st century skills, all that stuff. Is part of the shift for both the teachers and the students recreating the curriculum as well? I mean, recreating what we teach as well and how we teach it. That seems like the obvious answer is yes, but is that half the battle? I mean, we talk about access, but is access only half the battle? What do you guys think? Russ, we haven't heard from you for a while. Go ahead, buddy.
I will say one of the, I don't know, battles I guess I've chosen to fight is this idea of new versus old and kind of the terminology framework that I'm trying to push, and it's not really catching on or anything, but is not new versus old, but like better versus worse. So I think we mentally, and I've done it in the past too, is equate new with better and old with worse. And I think we need to stop equating, because those are not synonymous. Just because something is newer doesn't necessarily mean that it's better. And just because something has been, just because we've been teaching something or teaching something in a certain way for a long time doesn't necessarily mean that it's worse. And so I just think that we need to use these better tools to do things better, to do better things in better ways, not newer things in newer ways. Because new isn't always good, I guess, is what I'm saying. And I feel free to push back on that. It's just something I've been thinking about lately.
No, I agree with you, Russ. I agree, because I had this conversation. I had this conversation at the one-to-one conference, before the one-to-one conference, and after the one-to-one conference. So in three different avenues of my learning about it. Our tech director asked me this question. He said, if you have a really good science teacher, let's say, really good is engages the heck out of the students. Students love coming to class, learn, great student achievement, all those things. And your school then goes one-to-one. Do you make them change what they're doing? If they are, they are like the state's best science teacher or the nation's best science teacher, do you make them change just because your school initiative says every kid's got a laptop?
I think I've heard that idea before, and I think the argument would be, and here I am arguing against my own point, but are they, or could, you know, like the argument would be, could they be considered the best if they're not using these digital tools? And I'm not necessarily saying yes or no. I forget how to answer that question, but I'm not necessarily saying that they have to have computers to be the best teacher. But I think that's where the argument then goes. When I've seen it, you know, when I've seen that conversation, it seems to be where it goes.
Right, and I had another conversation about what does leadership look like in a one-to-one initiative, and the question was asked, you know, how do you, kind of from a little different perspective, but let's say you have the teacher who doesn't want to do it, that teacher that we're talking about, that we heard from at our at the unconference, how do you move that teacher as a leader forward? You know, what how do you make them? I hate using the word make them, because it's ultimately their classroom, and mm-hmm. they're responsible for the learning that goes on there. But that leadership position, how do you encourage them to utilize the technology better if you're in that situation? And I really my thought would be with that is showing them how it can be useful to them, modeling that, giving them opportunities. If you have a teacher who's really doing a great job, showing them what that looks like, or going out somewhere else where you can really demonstrate and show to that teacher, you know, your students are going to be more actively engaged in their learning if you do this. So.
Mm. Wow. That really took off there. just kind of a quick ending to the two perspectives part here. Just from an overall conference perspective, we obviously all three of us went knowing that our schools were probably not going to a one-to-one student to computer laptop initiative next year. What was your overall takeaway? Encouraging those who maybe are out there listening from Iowa, or maybe those who would be able to travel to Iowa for next year's one-to-one institute, what was your takeaway? What was the biggest aha or yeah, I'm so glad I came because? Let's start with Eric. Go ahead.
I guess I'll go back to what I said on my blog. I reflected on this on my blog last week. My big takeaway that I really enjoyed was meeting people. The Twitterverse is full of people that you meet digitally, and being able to sit down and have a conversation with somebody face to face, a true face with the name and that conversation that you get to have with that person, to me was the ultimate. I really enjoyed that avenue of it. So many people that we met. I don't want to throw out everybody's name because there's so many people that I met that was.
Drop a few, Eric. You can drop a few.
Darren Durflinger, John Carver, the Van Meter people. I Skyped with them a couple times, and we've talked with them on Twitter. It's good to meet them. Mike Sansoni, good to meet him. Jeff Dix from, good to meet them as well. And just all those, a lot of people that you meet, that you have conversations with, that it's good to meet. So
we name drop here, Eric. So get used to it. That's part of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Go ahead, Russ.
Well, Eric stole mine. Takeaway? So I don't know what to tell you. No, I was. Right, here's so what I'm going to say. He did steal mine. The people. It was all about the people. I mean, and even when I got back to school, and my administrator and some other teachers were like, "Oh, how was it? You know, tell us the highlights." And I was like, "I got to meet a bunch of people and have like random hallway conversations, and I got to meet people from all over the state, and it was awesome." And they're like, "Well, what was the best session?" Well, nope, it was just meeting these people and having just these total conversations with people that are just as passionate as we are about the way you know, just, we don't know where education's going, but we know it's going, and just to be able to have those conversations is amazing. So if what we're doing on this podcast, and if that two perspectives conversation and the unconference and that stuff sounded interesting to you as you're listening, then this conference is for you. I mean, next year when we do it again, that's the kind of stuff that you're into. And the sessions, this isn't to take anything away from the sessions. I've heard nothing but great things about the sessions. And so if that's the kind of thing you're into, I loved it. The Institute was amazing. I think it was for anybody. Anybody that has any interest in education should be there.
Yeah, I think they really did a lot of things right. I went to another conference. I won't name the name of that conference, but it was a lot smaller, different focus. You know, just the little things that this one-to-one did right. Hey, from the get-go, if you're not interested in this session and you're in the middle of it, go ahead and walk out. Like, that's encouraged and no problem. I mean, there's probably another session that you can get a lot out of. You know, just little things like that. It was totally free. I mean, little things like that just make the conference that much better. Since it was free, you felt like you got your money's worth right away, and I got, you know, I know it's not mathematically correct, but I got 100 times more out of it than what I paid, you know?
You didn't pay anything. But,
Eric, yeah. I know, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'll go to
so you didn't get anything out of it then? You take 100 times zero.
Who invited this guy on the show? Just kidding.
I led a session, and I had people moving in and out. And it was awesome. I mean, that to me was one of the best parts because I knew beforehand that people were going to be doing that. And that's fine because I had people leaving and it was like, I waved to them on the way out. It's like, sounds good. Go find something you're going to learn from because that's awesome. And I had people coming in and they picked up the conversation. And yeah, it was great. Well, hey, I want to name drop one person. I got to meet Matt. I got to meet Matt Dix, and that was awesome. Matt was in my session, and he was helping out with that, and it was great. Matt Dix is a great guy.
Cool.
Among others, Evan Abbey too. Got to make sure I say Evan's name.
Yeah, and he was not in a suit yes, either. Exactly. I couldn't believe it.
Did miss out on Andy Crozier though. So Andy, you missed out big time. There were many iPads to be had, and you did not get.
He was
one.
Getting yes, his iPad. Exactly. That's right. Oh jeez.
No, that's what I was going to say. Is that I unfortunately walked out of Evan's session. Because I was sitting there, and then that's when the unconference was going on, and his session was about online learning, and it was more sent for leaders, and that's not my role right now. So I really felt, you know, that's a second place I can go, and then I went to the unconference, and I'm glad, really glad I did. So, not that I left Evan's session.
Awesome. But. Well, Evan, if you want to start charter school, you know you got three teachers. Yeah, we're in. Man, we're really going to get ripped on this one. Oh, well.
It's been fun.
No editing this out. We're not editing this out. No way. All right, let's go to the last portion of our podcast today, the three-minute gut check. Eric, are the butterflies going right now in your stomach there?
I'm nervous right now. I am. You know, I've listened to you guys before, and... You know, right now, I have no idea what you're going to... I mean, I had an idea what you're going to talk about before. We talked about that, but now all of a sudden, it's like, what are you going to ask me? And this is going to go out to the universe.
Does anyone know what I'm going to ask? I don't.
Do you know what you're going to ask?
I got an idea.
Okay. Well, here's the scary thing. I mean, we're all family, but there's no sharing the secrets for this part of the podcast. These are kept... you know, in a sealed envelope in some, you know, password protected area. No one knows what these questions are going to be. Wow. All right. I got a question to ask Russ, but I don't know if I should go first or wait.
Well, I do have mine, so I'm happy to ask Eric first. Well, who's getting left out here of the circle? Or are we leaving somebody out? Do you have a question, Eric?
I've got a question.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I'll ask Eric. Eric, ask Matt.
Yeah.
Matt, you can ask me.
All right, you got the timer, Russ? You got the timer ready to go?
I will set a timer. I'm going to go to, here's the one to drop for you, online-stopwatch.com.
Online-stopwatch.com. We better post that.
I use this with my kids fairly often. They love it.
All right, are you going to sound the bullhorn then too for us?
I will sound the manual timer. All right, 3 minutes.
All right, ask the question. Go ahead.
Eric. So we are closing in on the end of the year. I don't know about you, but some of my kids have a countdown going. Could you believe it? They're counting down the days till the end of the year. So what do you do? It's the end of the school year. What's the end of the year look like in your classroom? Are we just watching movies? Are we kind of cruising our way out? What is the end? You're a veteran teacher. I'm in my first classroom. I want to learn from you. What's the end of the year look like for you? 3 minutes begins now.
Now? Okay. The end of the year in my classroom is, I would say, very similar to the first of the year in the classroom. We've got Algebra 2 right now. What I've got is I've got some stuff I have to get through. The kids don't like me all the time because I'm a little bit of a taskmaster, and I make sure that we stay on task. And along with that, I try to be engaging as I can. You know, I try to do some things that, you know, maybe we haven't done yet. We're going to do some more online journaling. I use Edmodo for some online journaling. I'm also going to roll out, and you'll really appreciate this, Russ, we're going to roll out a classroom blog of some sort. I'm not 100% sold on where it's going to be, what it's going to be like, what our focus is going to be, but that's going to be our big push for the next, as the kids will tell you, that we have 29 days left. Not that I'm counting, but the kids have been telling me that. So we're going to do that. And also, first semester we did, instead of doing an assessment over a unit, I gave the kids the option to create a video that demonstrated their knowledge of that unit. They picked specific ideas out of the unit to make it more specific, and then we my goal is to show those in down the road, you know, in the years to come. I want to have a collection of each unit, of some of the ideas that you know, here's what some kids, how the kids are trying to relate this to other kids, and so as we I want to do that as well. I did it early in the first semester, kind of get them engaged a little bit. I'm going to wait towards the end in this semester just to kind of give them something to look forward to, a little bit of a carrot to look at as we go down the road. So for me, it's keeping them engaged, finding some new things or some different things to do. And I don't have the same kids all year. I have them first semester and second semester, but it's just that engagement part to hopefully keep them wanting to learn and actively involved in their learning. So
50 seconds.
I gotta go all 50 seconds.
Oh, jeez. The newbie stops early.
Well, I answered. I was concise in my answer.
Yeah, but you got 40 seconds to kill.
And like I said, I want to know what that blog is going to look like. I know what I want to kind of been doing some gathering, and I've got kids who can blog. They're all 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. So we can legally go out there and throw some stuff on the Twitter, on the universe, and put their name on it. We're not going to put their full name on it, but put part of their name on it. That way they have something that you can always go back to and say, I posted something. You know, I think that's good to build a digital footprint. So
5 seconds. We'll let you slide this time.
Well, thank
you.
Well
done, Eric. Nice job.
Well done for the first time. Jeez, almost like he knew that question or something. Man, well done. Well done. All right, I'm going to ask you next, okay. Russ. All right, so get that time ready to go for yourself there. All right, so as I usually do in this portion, I try to put some words in your mouth, so I'm going to try to do that again. So here's the caveat. I am trying to put some words in your mouth to kind of put you in the corner. All right, so let's see. So you've talked a little bit about how you want students to, you know, own their learning, to not, you know, not be taking home stuff just to do it for the sake of doing it. Okay, and you also, I think, have a great emphasis in your classroom on, hey, what we do in here is really important. Like, no one would ever want to miss out on what's going on. For example, I know you've Skyped in a student while they're on vacation. You know, I've Skyped in a student while they were like recovering from surgery. So you obviously are willing to go to do whatever it takes to make sure a student is getting or understanding or whatever it is that you're doing in that day. You value what's going on in the classroom, and you want all students to have that experience. So with that in mind, a student misses class. Okay, they miss class because they were sick one day, and you just taught like the, you know, the a really important aspect of writing or something like that. When that student comes back the next day, is it your role to reteach? Is it the student's role to learn on their own, like before or after school? What are the logistics of that, given that you teach sixth grade students and they can't drive on their own way to school? Is this a feasible system to even have even have 100 or more students with? In other words, if you have 20 students that are gone, is it reasonable for you to reteach to every single one of them? How does that look in your classroom, given that you obviously have a lot going on in any given day and that there have to be some students from time to time that miss it? What's that look like from the student's perspective and from your perspective? Whose responsibility is that, and whose responsibility should it be? 3 minutes, go.
Well, first of all, Matt, I'd really like to thank you for listening while I ramble on, because I know you've caught that in one of my many rants, I'm sure. What ends up happening in my room, the way I have started to run my classroom at the end, toward this part of the year. Wow, this gut check is really getting to me. I can't even spit out a sentence. I've been meeting with our instructional coach, Susan Hope, and she's awesome. And what she's been working with me on is this idea of the workshop. So I've got two periods. And so the first period I basically do reading workshop, and the second period I do writing workshop. And that's focused around mini lessons, which I like because it kind of plays into this idea of what happens when a student is gone. That way, when a student misses school, they didn't miss an 84-minute lecture from me, or they didn't miss 84 minutes of Mr. Garand teaching, in air quotes here. What they normally miss is something like 15 minutes or somewhere between 10 and 20 minutes of an introduction let's say taking apart a piece of the textbook or something like that that can be replicated before school or after school rather quickly. And so in class during school, we will do that mini, I'll present that mini lesson. And it's not always me lecturing or me at the front of the room, but it's something where we're doing something together, and then the kids will be given time to then work. So there's always a purpose for the mini lesson, and then that purpose has some work time. I'll give you an example. Last week we were working on comparing and contrasting, and so I brought in 8 different books, and the 8 different groups shuffled to each book, took notes on each book, and then spent time ordering those books into different lists, and then we came back as a class and put those lists together. I think I blogged about this. It's something called inductive thinking. And so that was kind of the mini lesson. It took about 20 minutes. And after that, then, they had a time to start writing a compare and contrast essay. So they worked on this idea of compare and contrast skill, and then the workshop time was time to work on this essay that they're building. So, to get to your actual question, if a student misses that workshop, or sorry, the mini lesson time, I can bring them back, or I can bring them in before or after school, and we can work through that idea together, and then they just make up the workshop time on their own. So I hope that...
All right, looks like we lost you there, Russ. We'll have to come back to you next week, cut you a little short there, but that's all right, I guess. All right, hit me up with the question, Eric.
Are you ready?
Geez, returning the favor. Go, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Most people may know this because you posted about it, but you're changing roles next year, Matt.
Uh-huh.
What is your biggest fear about your change of roles, and what will you miss most about the classroom? 2 questions.
Oh, wow. 2 questions. We got the timer started. All right, yes, Eric. Yes, I will be leaving the math classroom, and I'll be going to the central office to be the director of instruction and technology. I'm actually really sad. As I drive to work every day, I really do look forward to seeing all the students. And I think that's really what I'm going to miss the most. There's a certain aspect of teaching once you get into it. I think that you just never know what's going to happen on any given day. And I look forward to, having this kind of idea in mind of where I want to go and just having the students kind of lead the way as well. And so obviously I'm looking forward to that from a teacher's perspective, but there's just something that I've grown to really enjoy and appreciate about interacting with high school students. So I'm really going to miss that, hearing about their sports practices and how the play was on the weekend, and just seeing them after school and wishing them a good weekend and all those things. So I'm really going to miss interacting with the students, particularly getting to know the students on a personal level on a daily basis. Biggest challenge that I see ahead of me, I'm going to be staying in the same school district, so for me personally, it's going to be a change in mindset from being a teacher to being someone who's maybe more, has more formal authority. So obviously there's going to be some relationship changes that I have with the staff, from being a colleague that's in their role or kind of in their same role to being someone who is maybe leading the charge from a more formal perspective. I'm also kind of nervous just about what does the typical day look like? I got a feeling it's going to be full of meetings and all kinds of things like that. And so I really am just kind of nervous to kind of get in that routine, if there even is one, for a school administrator. I think there's going to be a lot of responsibilities, a lot of paperwork, a lot of different things that I'm probably not going to be used to right away. And I don't consider myself to be a visionary, and I told him that in the interview. I consider myself to be someone who sees what other people are doing and then sees how to systemically figure out how it would work for the context that I'm in. So I'm going to be doing a lot more reading, a lot more networking to learn what other school districts and other administrators are doing in their schools to make positive changes so that more students can achieve and benefit. And doing a lot more thinking, believe it or not. Right now I feel like I don't have as much time to think because I'm constantly teaching and teaching and teaching. And so I come home at night and do a lot of my thinking. And so I'm looking forward to doing a lot more of that thinking during the day and trying to communicate that out and figuring out ways to communicate that out to the other administrators and the staff in my school. There's going to be more time involved working some during the summer. I don't really mind that too much. Oh, there's my time. I don't mind that too much because I have worked in the summer in the past, but it's going to take a little getting used to. Not as much vacation as you guys, but I'll still hang out with you as much as I can in July if they let me have some time off. Oh, I'm almost crying right now thinking about that. Yeah. All right. Emotional side's over there. Yeah. You'll be like, come buy me dinner or something.
Yeah. I know. Oh, yeah. What is this? I get a new MacBook. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey.
New school, MacBook Pro.
That's on the school's dime, too. That's on the school's dime, too. Come on. Let's put a wrap on this fourth episode of With Students in Mind. Eric, you joined us for the first time. Looking forward to having you join us again in the future. Go ahead and share us your kind of closing thoughts here today.
Well, first I want to thank both of you guys for the opportunity to come in and to share my thoughts and to talk and to be able to learn from you guys. I really appreciate this opportunity. Secondly, I think we all had a great time at the one-to-one conference, and I think that was, we're engaged in our learning, I guess. We keep talking a lot about student engagement. We're engaged in our learning. The question is, are we going to take those thoughts, those learning ideas, and put them into use in our classroom? And I think, part of that is, are we going to be able to do that with what technology we have and how it fits into what we do and things like that. So just want to, again, thank you guys and really appreciate the opportunity to come and hang out today.
All right. Russ, give us some closing comments here.
Hey, same here, Eric. It was great having you. Matt, it's about the most fun I've had doing one of these so far. I think it's the most I've laughed, and it was definitely a good time. I think the one last plug I need to make is Kevin Kreutz, I believe that's how you say it, on Twitter, had an idea last week to put together kind of a EduRunner's goal. And so if you're on Daily Mile or if you're not on DailyMile.com, there's an EduRunners group, and our goal for the group is 150 miles today. So go out, put some mileage in, yes, and log it on Daily Mile. Otherwise, great conversation. Thanks, guys.
Definitely a good idea with the running there, Russ. Good way to get out and enjoy the nice weather today. Yeah, I too enjoyed this. Great to have Eric involved. Again, look forward to having him joining us sometime again in the future. For those of you that are just tuning in for the first time, you can follow us on Twitter at WithStudentsIM, or you can check out our blog with all of our podcast episodes on it, With Students in Mind. www.blogspot.com. Let's go ahead and say our traditional ending phrase here, guys. We are here
with students in mind.